as the alarm kicks in for another day.
From the moment your feet hit the floor,
we've got all you need to know before heading out the front door.
Live from just around the corner,
to make the feel-good last,
this is Michael for breakfast.
Welcome to the perfect place to catch up on everything Brekkie in case you missed it. Remember to tune in weekdays from 6 a.m. Stay across all our socials, even a text line as well on 04800 97 400. But we have three of the best bits on the way. We caught up with Dr. Marnie Lishman, who is a community psychologist, after everything terrible that happened on the East Coast with the Bondi Junction attack and Wakeley. Well, we wanted to know, how are we meant to sort of wade through this media? How are we meant to move forward? And it's a really interesting chat, you know, and it's great if you have kids about what, like, to keep in mind when terrible things come up in the news and on social media. We also chat with Ben Yu, who has a fantastic project for the city of Bunbury that we can actually be involved in. This is the unedited chat coming up. It's a great chat about why he's putting together this amazing work of, like, photography and art. And it's all about highlighting you. The people of Bunbury will become a gift that Bunbury can give people for years, if not decades, to come. It's all about legacy. That's on the way. But let's start with the Margaret River Pro that is on in the southwest as we speak. And Kelly Slater, the legend, the GOAT, was surfing throughout the week. And our man, Namu, got to catch up with him and even had an unforgettable moment that Namu, I'm sure, will cherish forever.
For everything extreme sports,
here's Namu from the Barrel Surf Podcast
on the Southwest Triple M.
How good, mate. Namu, how's it doing, mate?
Good morning, Michael. What a week we've had. Another beautiful morning today. So the competition is on again and I'll be down there very, very shortly.
Yeah, so far we've only lost a couple of days across the weekend, but was this expected or did we think we'd have to hold for a bit longer?
Yeah, I think they've just got so many heats to get through, having the men's and the women's, that they have to actually run today. It's looking like it's going to be smaller again tomorrow, so they'll make hay while the sun shines, a little bit of swell that's in the water, and run, I think, the round of 16 today for the women, and I think they'll also have the quarterfinals on stand by just in case there's a little bit of a pulse in the swell or it gets really good or the tide works out or whatever it might be. So look for those initial heats from the ladies and perhaps even the quarterfinals today.
So we have been following some of our locals really closely, and how are we doing?
Yeah, look, Jack Robinson won his heat yesterday. He's into the round of 16, so he's charging through the field as he tends to do. We unfortunately lost Jacob. Chippo Wilcox, our good friend from Margaret River, yesterday as well in a very, very close heat. And unfortunately, Jacob is back to the Challenger Series now. He's off tour for the rest of the year. But look forward to seeing him coming back onto the tour in 2025. And we also lost Bronte McCauley, who was our wild card. She lost in the elimination rounds as well. But Bronte is going to be hitting the Challenger Series as well. And look forward to seeing her on tour in 2025 as well.
It feels like such a brutal sport that, yeah, if you don't win the heat, you're off the tour. That's rough.
Yeah, there were lots of tears yesterday. Lots of tears, including obviously from the great man himself, Kelly Slater, but there was a couple of youngsters who were also relegated. So, yeah, can't be a great feeling being knocked away from your job or told you can't do your job anymore at the highest level. So, yeah, commiserations to the people that did lose and, yeah, look forward to seeing them carve it up in Queensland next week for the first week of the Challenger Series.
You did mention the legendary Kelly Slater just then, and you got to catch up with him before he hit the water. Let's have a listen.
Okay, Barrel Surf Podcast, Triple M Southwest, here with Kelly. Kelly, we had a surf with you the other day. I think micro in your corner is a good thing. Having the Barrel Surf Podcast boys having a little warm surf for you must have been a benefit for your heat today.
Yeah, obviously having micro is great, but getting the right podcast on your side is kind of key.
That's awesome, mate. So we'll cheer you up when you win this event. But how's the mindset going into this heat? I know you don't always love the Margie's wave, but the Margie's wave seems to love you.
Yeah, I mean, occasionally I put it together and I kind of connect with the wave, you know. Last time I really connected with it was for one wave in 2015. You know, we'll just see if we can do that for more than one wave today.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kelly. Enjoy the rest of the event. Cheers, mate.
Thanks, man.
So Kelly Slater, although he is a legend, obviously struggled a little bit at Margs, and you put the commentator's curse on him, mate.
Yeah, put the commentator's curse on him, absolutely. He was bundled out in the very next heat. But we were lucky enough to, like I sort of mentioned in that little bit, had a surf with him last week, and we made a bit of a plan. We sort of said to him, mate, if you do leave us, or if you do indeed win this event, we're going to cheer you up the stairs. So that's indeed what we did, which was... pretty classic moment for us on the podcast. I was at the back holding his board, and the other two hosts cheered him up the stairs. And you might have seen it. The vision's just gone around the world. It's pretty exciting for us to be involved in that sort of a moment.
You'll never forget that, mate. That's absolutely huge. And if I'm sure that on Barrel Surf Podcast, we'll have the complete coverage of everything happening at the Margaret River Pro. And you're about to head off there again this morning.
Yeah, heading down there now for the ladies' heats. Can't wait. We are going to have a little day out again. It's been amazing so far, and can't wait for this one to be wrapped up so you can see who's going to be the champions.
Namu from Barrel Surf Podcast, you're a legend, mate. Thanks for keeping us up to date.
Thanks, Michael. See you soon.
Joining us in the studio now is local photographer Ben Yu. G'day, Ben.
Thank you. Thanks for your invite.
And well, thanks for coming in, because we love this project that you're working on. One Bunbury. Can you tell us the concept?
I'll start with the why.
The why.
Why I even do it in Bunbury? The first place. Yeah. My background is, you know, I shoot photos. I used to do a lot of destination weddings, travel around the world and all that. COVID hit. But before COVID hit, I came back with the bad news of my health. I was diagnosed with cancer a couple of years ago, actually just the month before COVID. Wow. From there, well, like most people on a deathbed would say, look at a bucket list, right? What can I do and all that? And I thought I was going to die at a certain point of time. So going back to that, when I was diagnosed with cancer, like those survivor or currently going through that would know that it is quite an emotional journey. So I needed answers, because I'm always curious, like, you know, why me? You know, why must I get cancer seriously? I thought I was being a good boy, you know, things. Yeah, I've done some stupid things in the past, but I thought, you know, it's not so serious.
Yeah.
But having said that, going through that, I needed answers. I went to Google, YouTube, like what normally people do to, you know, find answers. I went there, and instead of got an answer, why me, I got another question. And the question was, why not you? What made you so special? It is a stat. Someone will get cancer, maybe 1 in 10, 1 in 15, depending on the cancer and all that. So, well, then by looking at it, if it's 1 in 10, 1 in 15, it hits home straight away. It could be your parents, it could be your kids, it could be anyone close, straight up. So would you take it for the team? Well, I've seen quite a lot in the world. I travel, I've captured some amazing weddings, and I live the dream from my point of view. So I'm thankful and grateful that it was me. Why did I share this story? It's because when I was really vulnerable that time, some message or some words or some quote could shift perspective. It shifted my perspective from being angry and sad and emotional, like, why me, to being thankful and grateful that, thank God, it was me. So it shifted totally. So where I'm going with this is, like, now if a quote or a sentence or a legacy or something you pass down from generation to generation, something that passed on from your dad or granddad's a powerful voice or message, if that could change a life, why not share it to the world? So then I start thinking, okay, how do I bring the element of my photography skills or experience to combine with something? It's like what you do, music and lyrics,
yeah.
Right? Music captures the intention first, but what carries you on is the lyrics. So if you combine music and lyrics, which is image and a powerful quote, that could be powerful. Now, the only problem is, when do you see it? When do you find it, right? Because it, for me, stars were aligned. I was at the right place, right time, such a right Google, such a right word. And the funny thing, it wasn't those kind of, you know, like, oh, I'm depressed, should I find a book? It wasn't that. It was a gym sort of video, like sort
right.
of thing. It's a
yeah.
motivational thing that got me. So I would say I was lucky, but a lot of us are lucky too. But you need to put in the time and place to have the luck. Meaning, if the book, this One Bunbury book, is at the right place, like it could be a doctor's office or lounge or airport or a school, or it could be anywhere. But if it's so beautiful, like a coffee table book, and then you have a look at the book, it's like, wow, that's interesting book, without thinking that it could actually inspire you. Then you open, have a look, and say, wow, now we have 100 powerful, inspiring people within Bunbury pick one message. Now, it's not meant to be a long, lengthy, ego-stroking what I've achieved for the 100 people. It is just a very short, compressed, which is the hardest, like most moviegoers or writers would know that come up with a title is hardest. So that's a sort of a title for you, for your life and all that. So it's going to be so compressed where, because these days we got TikTok, we got social media, we just flick through, right? So we need something really impactful yet broad.
Yep.
So it could be Martin Luther King said, I have a dream. Dream of what? From which perspective? So you can narrate however you feel or think it could help you. At being a right place at the right time, it could save a life. So it sort of, I wouldn't say it saved my life, but it inspired me to shift my perspective. So what I want to give back to the city of Bunbury is to give this, like, we have a collective voice, a powerful voice. And then taking on to the next level, when we have international visitors, foreign investors, even prime ministers from different parts of the world or even within Australia come over here, what do we give them? Vegemite? We don't, like, we're Australians, right? You don't give Vegemite to Australians, right? So what do you give, a cap, a t-shirt about Bunbury? It sort of maybe represent one person and all, but it doesn't represent a voice, a collective voice of inspiring people within Bunbury. So my job is to have the ultimate one gift off from the city of Bunbury to the people, for Bunbury and to the world, to know that we have very inspiring people, very inspiring voices that tells you to stay resilient, stay strong, true messages and stories in a way, compressed stories, you know, all these quotes to make it really impactful. So I want it to be a gift of gifts, and I want it to be a very, the most important thing is you see it around. So you could have like a marketing or accounting book in a shelf that no one sees, but it must be beautiful, it must be engaging, it must have a photo to represent the message.
Yep.
So I told everyone that sits in front of my camera, I'm not going to capture a beautiful portrait of you, someone else can do that. This book is about you connecting your message or sort of sharing your message to the world on what inspired you or the message that you like to pass on, legacy you want to pass on.
This is really a powerful idea in itself. And you know, we have the opportunity to bring a bit of that power, a bit of people power, because how do we get to 100 people to represent us? And you're looking for public submissions, really, and that there are so many people from so many walks of life that will have these messages. They're going to be both, you know, they're inspiring people, of course, and they can be very well-known legends of the area. But at the end of the day, they are just local people like ourselves, and that in itself is another kind of power again. So how do we go about getting in touch with you with who we think inspires us in our community?
That's a good question. When I first started, it's... by the way, we have 40 sort of committee advisory that gives me feedback about Bunbury, because I've been here for 15 years. There's still a lot of things I don't know. So I'm getting some advice on like who should be on the list and to start with. So I got 200 to start with, just sort of give it to start the ball rolling. But I like to open for public nomination because, again, there's only so many people we know.
Yep.
And so many unsung heroes that we have not heard about. And sometimes those guys could be just walking in the street, or a granddad or someone who, you know, gone through the war times and all that, have a really impactful story. And sometimes they, but I got so much to share. Okay, calm down. Tell me your story. And then you tell me that if you're on a deathbed, it sounds a bit dramatic, but it's at times, and you don't have, like in the movies, you don't have 5 minutes for your last message you could pass on. If you can compress that in a shortest time or words or sentence, what would that be?
Yeah.
So that is where I like to bring that message through. So opening to public nomination, I realized that it is way better to bring in the community. I do have, a big group already, but I want it to be really vast. At the same time, it is not just going to be a certain group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Even within the community, it's quite diverse in terms of race and religion. And the most important thing is age. We forgot about age. You could be a high school kid or a student or whatever it is, but you're inspiring because I heard there are some, you know, young ladies who have done amazing things, no longer in Bunbury, but still, you know, started in Bunbury and all that, which is inspiring for all the young students or kids these days.
Yeah.
So to have their voice heard, not so much on what they have achieved, but what got them through, like in business and in life, there are times that you almost gave up. There would be times you almost gave up in terms of emotional or family or life or business. What is the voice in your head that got you through? I've spoken to some, like, I know the guy hates his business. I don't like this and all that. I said, then why you do it? Because I promised my uncle I will carry this on because my dad's not around. Now that's powerful. No, through thick and thin or whatever challenges you face, that voice in your head keep telling you you need to soldier on. It's because all these messages. So by opening to public, I get a lot more of this together. And we look at like which one is inspiring and all that, and then put together. And the 100 may say, maybe if I get a public nomination list of 500,000, the more names the better. Don't think that, oh, you know, maybe I did not achieve anything in life, I should not be in the book. No, it's nothing about that. It's about the powerful message that you can share and pass on to everyone. So if you have a powerful message that you feel that it could, I know it sounds big, could save a life, you know, right time, right place, please share that. So just, it is on my website, onebunbury.com.au/nomination. And then from there, you can put in the names. And because it's going to be like an ultimate, hopefully, that like it's sort of nearly the official gift of the city of Bunbury that to give to the world and share to the world. It also includes, I like to promote local artists' work as well. Yeah. So we will have local artists and you know their artwork and all that, featuring local writers. Write about the Bunbury, city of Bunbury, related to their poems or any story they like to share. So it's gonna be, because if there's 100 phases, 100 powerful messages. Seriously, sometimes we only need one, right? So, but to go through that, I think, man, it's a bit too much. My mind and eyes need a break at seeing too many. Sometimes you read a book, there's so many points, you know, you need a break to digest that.
Yeah.
So to have that intermission is where the artwork comes in to say, hey, this is pretty cool.
Head online, onebunbury.com.au. Ben Yu, thank you so much for jumping in. And we're going to follow your journey as well, because this is a really exciting project. And I'm sure I could even come up with a couple of nominations myself from here in the station.
Please do. I'll need as many as can get. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Joining us on the line now is health and community psychologist, Dr. Marnie Lishman. Morning, Marnie.
Good morning.
Now, this Bondi Junction attack has, I think, affected many across the country for a variety of reasons. Like, take, for example, my wife is a new mum. The troubling information about the child being attacked, but we've heard good reports about recovery. That hurt her very personally. And then our communities as well have had similar incidents to this over the years. Nothing of this magnitude, but bringing up a lot of memories of these kinds of attacks. How are we meant to consume the media and process it?
Oh, yeah, it's such a tough one, and it's still early days. So, like you just mentioned, you know, it's such a senseless tragedy that we're trying to understand somehow. But everyone's sitting in a range of emotions, aren't they? And obviously, when we feel certain emotions, it triggers other emotions. So it's coming through our brain, and we're trying to, and it's latching on to previous memories as well about what's gone on in the community and what's going on globally as well. So there's a range of emotions from shock to sadness, anger, fear. I think our empathy is kind of throbbing, isn't it, for the victims and their families. I think at the moment, the best thing for us to do is to sit in those feelings. Too many of us try to kind of avoid them and sweep them under the rug. But I think when things like this happen, these senseless tragedies and traumas of the world, we've got to just sit in the emotions for a little bit and try and process them. That's the first thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And Marnie, I think one of the big things that people will be trying to wrap their head around as well is this whole mental health element that is coming out and coming to light.
Yeah.
We don't have all the details, but I suppose it's so tricky, isn't it? Because so many of us struggle with different mental health conditions and all sorts. And then it makes me wonder, and my biggest question this morning is this going to do damage for the good that we're doing in the space of mental health? Does it change the rhetoric where we go backwards? And you know, there's some poor journalism that I would say is using words that I'm not comfortable with, and I think it paints people in a light that's not helpful.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts? Is it going to put us backwards?
Yeah, you know, one would hope not. Mm. Yeah, and I'm like you, that I was just seeing some really poor wording. I think I heard someone saying, you know, it was because of mental health. Like, honestly, and obviously I can't comment on, you know, the person that's done, you know, this senseless crime. But, I think we have to really choose our wording, because we all have mental health and we will all experience a mental health condition at some point in our life. So I think, there needs to be proper wording around that. And I think, I think once we move and shift through the emotions that we've got at the moment, and the fear and the anger, is that we'll just start thinking, you know, we're supposed to feel these negative emotions. We're supposed to be in a heightened state. And then once they're kind of processed, then we need to start problem solving and making sure that these sorts of things never happen again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the New South Wales Police, they are investigating the line of inquiry that it may have been a targeted attack against women. Do you see in communities across Australia, do you think we still have a really big problem with domestic violence towards women, or do you think this was isolated to this man?
I think we already know the answer, don't we? I think it's a mix of things, but I think, we've got massive problems in this country, haven't we, in terms of violence to women. And like I said before, don't brush the emotions that you're feeling under the rug.
Yeah.
These are going to be used to make change. So I think it's very important that we're very angry right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose just to close, Dr. Money, is there any final bit of advice that you can leave us with as we sort of deal with everything that we're seeing? As sort of, if we're sitting with our emotions, what can we do? Because that doesn't feel nice. I don't like it.
What can we do after that? Yeah, I would say don't push them aside. Just make sure that you're feeling the emotions. Get the support that you can. Support your children as well if you're finding that they're hearing things. Answer their questions the best. You don't have to have all the answers, because we don't as adults. And make sure that, you look after your own mental health right now, because we can't make change, can we? And we can't support others if we're feeling anxious all the time and really angry. So I think, put your oxygen mask on first at the moment. Practice as much self-care as you can, support others. And that's where we're all in the best place to make big changes in our communities, so things like this don't happen in the future.
And if you are needing any help, remember that Lifeline is always available to you. 13 11 14 is the number.
Dr. Marnie Lishman, thanks so much for catching up with us and just offering us like a little bit of guidance and a comfort around these feelings. So thank you for having a chat.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by for a little bite of brekkie. You can catch my full shows from 6 a.m. weekdays. And don't forget to follow us across all the socials. And you can even join the Everything Southwest group on Facebook, as that's a great way for you to get in touch. So I'll catch you through the week. We'll be back here for another bite of brekkie.